Welcome to the third hour of the KFBK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims, Saturdays 5 to 8, KFBK Radio, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. Can't believe how that signal, when I'm up in the hills in the Placerville, Georgetown area, and that is, it's like it's right next door. I mean, it just comes booming in on the FM signal. You know, Brian Ricucci at Big Daddy's Guide Service up at Lake Almanor spends a good deal of every year there, especially this time of year. It's a cold water fishery. The water temperatures in the 40s has gotten down into the upper 30s, and yet he still catches the big browns. And this year is a little different because along with the browns, he's catching some rainbows. I think this week up to 5.5 pounds and salmon. This is going to be a good year for salmon in Lake Almanor. They're already going up to 20 inches, as you will hear in this report. Brian, another week on Lake Almanor. Last we talked, the big browns had moved off the points, or put it this way, it took you three points more to catch one fish than it had the week previous. In other words, it slowed down a little bit. You had to work harder, but you caught some nice one. What change was there this week?
Well, you know, I don't know if there was a whole lot of change. We're still covering a lot of water. We're still finding real good quality fish, but maybe just a slight bit easier when we can find the bait in a particular area. I've started to find some bait's been a little bit non-existent the last couple of weeks, and I just in the last few days have kind of found some areas, and they change every day, but you know, I'm always on the look for signs of the pond smelt kind of either being corralled up, and I see no evidence of the pond smelt spawning yet, but it's got to be any time with the way the water temps are.
So when they disappear, where do they go? I mean,
you know, that's they're out in the lake somewhere, but they're not where they should be this time of year. Let's say that, or I should say, we're fishing water that the pond smelt should have already been in and then moved back out of, and I have yet to see them move into those areas this year. So, and I think it's just a function, you know, this weather and water and that sort of thing, because normally, if you recall in years past, by the first week of April, we're kind of wrapping this bite up.
I know it.
But, you know, the water temps are still in the mid-40s in most places out there, and that's kind of prime time for the shallow stuff still. And, of course, we've got a big storm whacking us right now, which is going to bring some more cold water into the lake and kind of keep those water temps from rising too high. So I think we're going to have, you know, at least a few more weeks of this shallow stuff going on.
You know, the time that interests me the most is the time with the brown trout fishing. You know, they don't stop feeding, but I guess they go deeper. There could be more food available. They just get tougher to catch, you know. They're tough, let's face it. However,
sure. And the other thing, too, you got to remember, here this last week, we've been fighting the full moon. And that gives them opportunities to feed at night. They're still going to continue. It just changes the timing on everything.
Yeah.
So instead of just getting good early morning hours for those fish, we're actually catching them in the middle of the day, 11 o'clock, that sort of thing. And I think that's just a function of the timing with this full moon. But
yeah,
that's going to be going away here shortly.
Okay. But, you know, the good news is that when the brown trout fishing finally does slow down, this winter you have had some remarkable success with some big, beautiful rainbows. Seems like bigger rainbows this year in the last few years. And we've also not just caught one, but several salmon in the 18 and 19-inch range already. That's something to look forward to.
Yep, and new this week, since I talked to you last, you can chalk up over 20 inches on the salmon and over 3 pounds on the scale.
Is that something?
Yeah, they're fantastic. In fact, we had just a high average size fish, probably about 19 inches. We were just releasing everything we caught yesterday, and the way this fish smashed the plug, and the way he was fighting, and after a couple of minutes, finally jumped and went airborne. So we saw what we had on there. we all kind of looked at each other like, are you sure there's not another fish back there somewhere? Because it's just incredible the battle that those things can put up.
Yeah.
And we're all looking forward here next year seeing those things up between 3 and 5 pounds, you know, all day long. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been like that before. In fact, you know, way back when Almanor had, you know how certain years everything gets big in the lake. And
sure.
There was one year where the rainbows averaged almost 4 pounds. The same year the rainbows averaged 4 pounds of Lake Orville, so you know it was a long time ago. But the salmon were up to 9 and 10 pounds in both lakes as well.
Yeah, and I wish, you know, we haven't seen that. The last time I recall was about 93 or 94 when we had, you know, potential double-digit weight salmon in that lake in Almanor. And I've heard from a pretty reliable source, and it seems to coincide with the timing, that in the early 90s they were planting a strain of salmon that actually came from the Great Lakes. And in the early 90s they switched to the West Coast Kings. And that sort of kind of correlates exactly to the timing when we stop seeing those real heavy salmon. So that's kind of an interesting take on it.
You know, what's really interesting is where the Great Lakes originally got their salmon was from the West Coast.
Isn't that funny?
And so then they developed their own breed because they had enough years of spawning back there, which was slightly different than the fish out here. And then we ended up getting eggs from them. So, like you say, it's quite an interesting circle.
Yeah, no, and they certainly were fun. But I'll tell you, at 3 to 5 pounds, these things are no slouches.
Brian Ragucci, these things are no slouch. He loves those salmon. Well, if you've ever caught a landlocked salmon, I mean, let's say in the 17, 18, 19-inch range, those things don't quit. I mean, they just keep fighting and fighting and fighting. They're bulldogs. I mean, they're really something. They are fun to catch. So I wish they'd be more consistent in their management of that fishery, because that is a fun fish to catch. Brian's number, 530-370-1001. You know, way back when, I don't know how long ago, because it was that long ago, but Almanor and Lake Orville, of course, which is on the same water system, both had those rainbows that averaged 4 pounds, and they had big salmon. And way back then, Orville had a great rainbow fishery, a great brown fishery, and both king salmon and coho salmon. And my biggest salmon up at Lake Almanor was like 9 pounds, and my biggest one at Lake Orville was 9.5 pounds. I was hoping to borrow a broken scale from somebody, but I couldn't justify calling it a 10-pounder, so I'm stuck under 10 pounds. But that's been a lot of years, hasn't it? A lot of years. Hey, after the break, Don Paganelli talking to us about how to prepare for what's after this rainstorm. Right now, though, out at Adventure Sports, you know, we've been talking the last few weeks about the Bonafide. It's called the SS-127. It's a 12-foot, 7-inch kayak. And it's made by the Yak Attack people that were known for fishing accessories for kayaks. Then they finally came up, and everybody was high on it. Adventure Sports have sold a whole bunch of them. You know, you hope for one a good quality in a kayak, either the speed or the tracking or maneuverability or stability. This has all of them. But guess what? The factory has asked the dealers to remove the value packs, meaning the discounted prices, the paddle, including the paddles and the rod holders and everything else, and the tractor pads. Normally that's extra. And so they won't be able to offer these special packages, but you've got about 2 weeks to get it with the packages. It's the Bonafide, and everybody is raving about it. And speaking of good kayaks, you know, in these big box stores, including fishing stores, they sell these kayaks, and everybody says they paddle like a tank. I don't care how pretty they are. Except they paddle like a tank. Well, at Adventure Sports right now, they've got the Pescador Pro Angler. It's the 10-foot model for $5.99, the 12-foot model for $6.99. They're wide, they're stable, and they paddle nice. Those are good kayaks. And they're at Adventure Sports at their new location at 7812 Auburn Boulevard, just off Antelope. Call them at 565-1400. I just want to remind you, if you're a fisherman and are going to go up to Collins Lake, you might call in advance, because with these rains, the lake tends to get a little muddy. We just never know, but it doesn't hurt to call in advance. That number is 800-286-0576. When the water does clear, watch out. There's a lot of fish in that lake right now. Before we talk to Don Paganelli, you know, we mentioned that Camp Ride is doing that very unusual, and I mean, really, super sale on 50% off, and that's on most items, 50% off on all their items. And what we're going to do is we're going to qualify somebody now and give away next week. How about a kid's tent cot? You know, let your kids have a little independence when you take them camping. A kid's tent cot, they will absolutely love it. And so the seventh caller at 921-1530, 800-834-1530, we're going to qualify you for a tent cot and then make a drawing next week, okay? So, and just go on the website, Camp Rite, that's spelled with a K, KAMPRITE.com. All the things you can see there, damage packaging is going to result in a 50% off sale, okay? All right, now let's talk to Mr. Don Paganelli of Don Paganelli's Bass Fishing Experience. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Are you depressed like the rest of the fishermen on the show today?
No. I tell people that all the weather does is keep fishermen off the lake, but the fish are still there, and the fish are still doing what they're going to do.
There you go. Well, you know, I wanted you to come on because things were, you know, Berryessa was really cooking. And then they had that tournament last week. And a lot of the guys that were just had a great pre-fishing time over there kind of fell on their face because of a little pressure change or something. Plus, the winners came in with a little 10-pound kicker. And
just
still
a little one.
Yeah, just a little. And even at that, I think it was 22 or 23 pounds that won the tournament. But so things fell off because the fishing had been a lot better. Now, we expect that in spring with storms. Folsom, with all the water coming in, I had a feeling that was ready to really pop. And here we go again. So when we come out, and then the delta for both black bass and stripers. And now we have water clarity issues. You might be able to find some water way down south. And I don't know, but... You know, what are we expecting? We're right in the middle. We were right in the pre-spawn. We were starting to see beds over at Berryessa and Clear Lake. I don't know about over in our reservoirs on the east side yet. But things were heading toward a serious spawning. Now we're going to be heading into mid-April. What are we going to expect with all this water and the bass still wanting to spawn as soon as we get fishing conditions that we can catch them?
Well, the water obviously is rising, but it's just all it's doing is covering some really good vegetation that these fish just love anyway. The fishing's going to be good. It's just going to get even better. You could go to Clear Lake, you could go to Folsom, you could go to Berryessa and still catch a bunch of fish right now. The conditions, they just make it a little tougher on the fishermen. We get out there and it's windy right now at Clear Lake. I talked to one guy that said it was blowing 30 up there right now,
and they had a good week. They had a good week over there, Don. There, I think.
Oh yeah,
I think there was like 9 fish over 9 pounds weighed in,
and that's just going to continue. I mean, I've fished Berryessa in pouring down rain and had some of the best days I've ever had up there. It's just, you know, put on some rain gear. It's that time of year. Because people always ask me, you know, I want to go when the fishing's really good. Well, it's now. So you've got to you got to brave some of the conditions sometime to get out there when these fish are moving up. The weather's going to pull a few of them back, but you still have these fish that just, they're just moving up, and especially the ones that were moving up when the conditions hit. You had a lot of beds that were already established. Those beds are still there. They're just in a little bit deeper water now.
Yeah.
Which
may not be a good thing.
Well, yeah, for the spawn, maybe not. But, I mean, they're already committed to a lot of this stuff. And in the Delta, we go more towards the back of some of these sloughs, and you still have a lot of clean water. That's the nice thing about the Delta. You can always find clean water somewhere. Even in the muddy water, we're just throwing spinner baits that have Colorado blades on them that thump a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Something that puts off a little bit more vibration, and you just kind of slow roll them over the weeds. And you'd be surprised. The fish are still there. They're hungry. They're still looking. The fish in the Delta are kind of used to that water going up and down anyway.
Sure, with the tides.
Yeah, it just gets a little cloudier. But if you know the areas that you're fishing and you know, where to cover and whatever, these fish are still going to be holding in those areas. And, Folsom Lake, same thing.
A chatterbait sounds like it would be a good bait in those conditions.
Yeah, chatterbait or even the shallow diving crankbaits.
Yeah.
Anything that puts off a good vibration that you can crank slow, that you can work at a slower speed. Rattle traps can work really good when you get them pulled out of the weeds and stuff. Sometimes the fish are right there. I know they work really good at Clear Lake when the water gets murky and gets off color. A lot of guys throw those rattle traps in the crawdad colors, but in Folsom Lake, I just start throwing these small Kitex, that 3.5 Kitex,
mm-hmm.
and just swimming it really slow over the top of that new flooded vegetation on these points, and then working your way back into these coves. And those fish are moving up. I mean, they're there. They want to move up, and they're still feeding, and these storms just kind of pull them back a little bit, kind of moving back and forth. But I think a person, right now could still go up in any one of these lakes and still catch some fish. You're just, obviously, you're going to be braving some of the conditions.
Yeah. Here's something else. Of course, here's another thing you used to do, right? But it's true. You just don't always do the things you used to do, and you wonder why sometimes. But when Folsom Lake used to get muddied up a little bit or cloudied up where you could only have like a foot and a half of visibility, I used to go flipping out there. And in a lot of the same kind of stuff that you and I fished a couple of years ago, and then up into all those steep banks with all the rocks up in the Narrows in the North Fork. And, I'm not a great flipper, but I'll tell you one thing. I still caught some fish, and they were all nice fish, like 4, 5, 6 pounds.
Yep, and somebody asked me that the other day about the water moving up, and I said those fish are moving up with the water. They're moving up into those flooded timber and all that wood you're talking about flipping, and all those willows and everything like that. They're going to be right at the bottom, at the foot of those big willows that are submerged down in there. It could be a good year for spawn for Folsom. If we have these good years where the water's up constantly at this time of year, when the fish are moving up and they're not dropping the water on them, we could have another good spawn year at Folsom Lake, which would be nice.
Yeah.
That'll
last for several years, huh?
Well, it does. It holds that lake pretty good because they're very good at dropping that lake this time of year when for no reason, and then just uncovering all those beds. But
listen. The Bureau of Reclamation has proven time and time again they don't care about stuff like that. They just don't care. I mean, we're not going to ever change them. They've wiped out 2/3 of the winter run salmon all by themselves. You don't even get an apology out of them. So that's never going to change.
No, I understand. But I mean, we can only hope for the best, and we just watch these conditions. But the fishing is good in all these lakes, irregardless of what the weather's doing to you. It's just that time of year that always everybody asks, I want to go when it's that time, and it's that time.
In other words, just go.
That's it.
Man up and go.
Sure, when the weather gets nicer, the fishing's probably going to be better, but that's not like the fishing isn't good now. It's just not as good, maybe, but you're still going to catch some fish.
Okay, Don, we're just about out of time. That's another good lesson learned. And, hey, we're going to get a break in the weather even maybe this afternoon. Who knows what's out there, right?
You never know.
Okay, Don, thanks so much.
All right, Bob, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Don Paganelli, you want to book a trip with Don? You will not regret that. 916-502-3474. You go out with Don, you're going to learn stuff you can use for years and years and years, if not forever. So I fished with him one time, and that's the way I feel about it. So after the break, we'll skip around, talk about some turkey hunting, and stick around. Well, we just mentioned the camp right sale and how they realize that there's no one camping chair for everybody. And so that's why they make 15 different camping chairs. And we're going to qualify somebody that's the seventh caller. The seventh caller at 921-1530, 800-834-1530. And next week we'll draw a winner, and you can take your pick of any of their 15 different camping chairs. Go over and sit in every one of them, okay? You're going to find one you like. Good luck, everybody. Seventh caller, 921-1530, 800-834-1530. Talk to Kirk Portocarrero, Sac River Guide. Of course, he does everything. He was out turkey hunting. Kurt, you're taking a little bit of time off from fishing, and you went turkey hunting. In fact, you went today.
Yes, sir.
All this rain, how'd you do?
Well, phenomenal. We got one yesterday, and then we hit one today, and the poor bugger got away. It took the hit. But yeah, they're pretty much full going right now up here. Well, they're going pretty crazy. But of course, with the rain, they don't go as crazy as they. As they do when it's not raining. I'm sure that's tomorrow, the next day should be better.
That's what I was going to say. That's unusual that you had success 2 days in a row, especially with the rain coming on today. So how many birds you call in?
Actually, we called in a whole flock today, but they never gobbled. They just came in straight to the decoys. Yeah, wow. It was actually really good. It was beautiful. But
that's kind of surprising, huh?
No, not really, because they're right now we're at prime time. We're like prime time up here. It's like prime time rut for deer and yeah. Prime time rut for elk. It's right in the heart. They just kicked off Thursday, Wednesday. They were just on fire.
Okay. You better get them while the getting's good, huh? It's going to get
tough.
Right.
You know, it usually lasts a week or two, and then kind of they start petering off. But yeah. They do their thing, and they do it in about a week and a half, 2 week period. And you know, some areas like Sacramento or south of there, they go off a little earlier because of the weather. But up here, it's a little cooler, so they take a little bit more time.
I understand you broke away and went down to Colusa area striper fishing. How'd that work out?
Good. We got Monday and Tuesday. We both fished stripers down there, and we got them. We got limits both days. A lot of fish, a lot of schoolies. I think we landed probably 35 the first day with quite a few small undersized fish. And then we got same thing the next day. We did the same thing. We caught quite a few fish and let go of the smaller ones, of course, and try to get the bigger ones. But for the most part, yeah, there was fish everywhere. We fished above Colusa about 3 miles.
And did you get any decent fish, or were they all up to, you know?
No, they were nice. I mean, we got a couple, 5 to 6, maybe a 7, but that was nothing bigger than 7. I would say, I'm sure they're there, and we had one big one on that we thought, and it just broke off, and we don't know what happened to it, but it sometimes, you know, you get them, and sometimes you don't. And, of course, I have Justin fishing this weekend. He got his limit today with customers, so there's plenty of fish there. I take it with this rain, it's going to push the fish farther north, you know, up higher.
Well, we're going to find out, because it's going to probably blow it out for a while. But
I would say it'll blow it out, but, you know, it blew it out last year, but we were still catching them in the muddy water. Of course, I wasn't fishing that particular first couple of weeks because I had a broken leg, but for the most part, the guys that fish for me, they all got them even in muddy and high water.
Well, the locals think that it gets blown out this time. When it clears again, you better be ready because it's going to be wide open.
Oh, yeah. And it was really good. Monday, Tuesday, there was very few boats on the river, and we got fish every day, both days, and there wasn't much traffic. I mean, there was maybe five boats in the parking lot, if that, and we only saw about five boats. So, yeah, it was. But that's a Monday and Tuesday. Weekends are different. And I'm sure this weekend will be packed.
Now, when you said bait, were you using a variety of things?
Yeah, we were using pile worms, and we were using some sardines, and then we also got them on minnows.
Oh, you got them on minnows, huh?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, we got them in minnows. You know, the water is pretty clear. I'm sure it's going to be dirtier now, but that's when that water gets dirtier, we start using sardines again.
But that's good. So did you catch most of your fish on minnows?
Half. 50-50. The first day was sardines and pile worms. Second day was all minnows.
That's it. Kurt Portocarrero, Sac River Guide. His number, 800-670-4448. Also talked to Dave Burris, the new owner of Clear Lake Outdoors, about the fishing before this latest storm hit. Dave, we got another storm coming in, and that usually... there's lots of stories to tell at Clear Lake when these weather systems come in, because a lot of different things happen from the beginning to end. What's going on now, do you think?
Last week, the fishing was amazing. There was probably, I heard of probably 15, 18 fish caught over 9 pounds.
My goodness. All of a sudden, the big fish appeared, huh?
Yeah, definitely, and they're even coming up on some beds. So there's a we've seen a couple bed fish. There's even a few frog fish caught in the morning, which is very early for that.
Wow. Huh. What do you attribute that to? I mean, I don't get it.
I think that was just some luck in the morning and some hungry fish.
Yeah. I mean, anything can happen, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Now, when we go out fishing with this pattern, are those fish moving... with the pressures going up and down, a front comes in, then it moves out, and the pressure goes up. Are they moving in and out of shallow water quite often?
They are, and they're just cruising right now at about, 3 to 6 feet of water. There's a lot of people seeing, they see a lot of big fish, and they're harder to catch, but they are getting more big fish in the boat.
Well, I've been over at Clear Lake when... we're in, and we turn around in the back of the boat, and it might be... 7 or 8 feet of water, and 3 feet below the surface, you're seeing 5 and 6 and 7 pound bass swim by.
Correct.
Is that what's going on now?
It's exactly what's going on right now.
They drive me crazy because I've never been able to catch one of those guys.
Yeah, you got to get real lucky, put your bait in the right spot, and, fish real slow.
Well, now, aside from the bed fish, you're getting fish that are getting ready to come into the beds right now.
Correct.
How are people fishing for those?
A lot of brush hog fish. We're okay. Also getting a few jig fish. And a lot of the underspins have been working very well.
Usually the underspins are a little deeper water bait, aren't they?
Yeah, we like to use light ones here, about a quarter ounce.
Okay. And then that just, hopefully, if you find some bait fish, that's a good lure to use, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's Dave Burris over at Clear Lake Outdoors. I mean, they had a heck of a week over there. Really a heck of a week. So this storm is going to be a minor setback. Looks like it's going to be nice tomorrow. I mean, we've been talking about that the whole program. Man up and go out, bundle up and go. Anyway, Dave's number over at Clear Lake, 707-262-5852. After the break, if he's awake, Mr. Gary Coe, don't go away. Welcome back. Just a quick note here, in Kirk Portocarrero, one of his customers, shot a turkey and it got away. And I said, well, what happened? He didn't want to embarrass anybody. The guy was using 2 3/4 inch steel shot. And, I'm telling you something. There's tungsten and it costs more, but how many shots do you fire during a turkey season? And I was thinking of Ed McGalley's new book, The 10 Steps to Becoming a Successful Turkey Hunter, which if you just Google that, you can see the book 10 Steps to Becoming a Successful Turkey Hunter by Ed McGalley. You know that every turkey has between 4 and 6,000 feathers, and they're not lightweight feathers. It takes a lot to penetrate that stuff. So before we talk to Mr. Crook Coe, give him a chance to wake up a little bit. You know, this kind of weather, you know, brings out in me, there's nothing better than a pasty this time of year when it's like this. From the Pasty Shack at 48th and J, we'll give you a certificate for 3 pasties of your choice. Choose anything you want from the chili verde, the chicken, the vegetarian, the Cornish, the Bavarian. They are delicious. Light pastry shell cooked with vegetables, meat, and potatoes. You can't go heat them up at home or eat them there. The fifth caller at 921-1530, 800-834-1530. Good luck and thank you to the Pasty Shack, 48th and J, Sacramento. Let's see if he's awake. Gary?
Yeah. Thanks, Pasty Shack.
Hi, Gary.
Good morning. Yeah, that's a great time for that. Boy, those pasties are good.
They are good, aren't they? Just I'm telling you, every time I think of them, you want to have one. But you walk into that Pasty Shack, and I don't care if you just ate, it makes you hungry.
Yes, it does.
So how are you?
I'm pretty fair. How about yourself?
So we had an interview today with Richie Hite. You and he got up to Bullard's Bar this Wednesday and caught some nice fish.
He finally took the old man out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was telling him you caught him up to what? I think your biggest was 14 inches?
Yes. Of course, I've fished Bullard's. I caught my first kokanee in my life on Bullard's Bar.
10 inches?
Yes, at the most. I think probably 9.
Yeah.
And you remember years up there.
Sure.
When a 10-inch fish was trophy.
Yeah.
And 11 was unheard of.
Yeah.
And they're not just 14-inch fish. They're deep, heavy. They're in superb shape. There's not a mark on them. You know when you get a real fresh fish out of the ocean, they're purple almost?
Yeah, that hue.
Yes. That's the way all of these, in this lake, I've never seen it. They're superb, you know, and we just got into a little bigger fish, and we didn't limit, but we had a lot of fun.
Well, of course, the limit's 10 fish there. Don't get too greedy.
Yes, I know. You know, and I should mention that we had his son Cody with us, and he's quite a fisherman as well, and he's a lot of fun to have on a boat. And the angler of the year, by the way, last year.
That's right, he was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, better mention the angler of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, it was a great time, and the gear just keeps getting better. You know, he's not resting on his laurels every time we go out or every time I've talked to him. There's something new, and he's trying it all. He just doesn't put it out and hope. He puts it out and catches fish on it and then puts it out.
Yeah.
You know, so it works.
Yeah.
I just had a good time. I'm ready to go back. We're already talking about it, things that we do differently and trying to build a better mousetrap, but that's what it's all about.
Well, I mean, you got a pretty good record. I mean, the two of you should be able to come up with stuff. Of course, I'll have to pry it out of him because you won't open your mouth because you get greedy on these tournaments, you know.
Oh, yeah. There are so many tournaments we want to hit this year. You know, we're not even going to be at the same place.
Well, your first one's coming up, what, in 2 weeks?
2 weeks from today, Pine Flat. It just goes boom, and it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're looking forward to it, and I understand the trout fishing has been pretty good down there. I haven't heard of a lot of big fish, but I've heard of a lot of high-quality fish.
Mm-hmm.
And we're expecting a good and we're going to make a couple of special presentations down there that we're kind of keeping a surprise, but we're going to be supporting an organization down there that we'll love telling you about in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And but we want everyone to know that our season is kicking off 2 weeks from today at Pine Flat, and if they have any information that they want, go on our website and look up our Pine Flat Derby. Yeah. It's trout and salmon, because there are some kings and a few kokanee in there.
Yeah.
And there are rainbows and an occasional brown. And there's camping information, phone numbers, marinas.
Lodging.
Lodging's right there. The motel's right there. And I talked to them day before yesterday, and they had 4 or 5 rooms left.
Okay, that's where you stay, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then 2 weeks after that, you have the Shasta the Shasta 2-day Derby.
The big classic.
Yeah.
On May 5th and 6th, and of course you know about that one.
Yeah.
And you know, in the lake this year, 20 feet from full right now and coming up.
I've got a feeling it's going to be a good derby because I'm getting a feeling all these big fish, you know, we're hearing bigger than normal fish from Almanor, bigger than normal fish from Shasta, especially browns. And of course, this is the second good water year in a row.
Yes.
So I got to believe that, especially last year's thing had to have something to do with it because the browns taken out of Shasta so far this year are including that 12-pounder just a couple weeks ago.
That might be one of the prettiest browns I've ever seen.
Wasn't that beautiful? Oh, they're all beautiful there.
Yeah.
And then they're catching rainbows up to 20 inches right along with them. So who knows? That should be a good derby. But Pine Flat... you can direct people on how to get there and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. It's on the website, the phone numbers of where to stay. And incidentally, if you call any of these places down there and you mention Kokanee Power or a derby, they're giving you $5.
Okay, I want to give your number before we're out of time, 916-985-4943.
That's it.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. Have a great day.
See you later.
Bye.
Gary Coe, again, 916-985-4943. Have a good week, everyone.